Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Back on for a Not a Thing podcast. It's spring.
Yay! The best time of the year.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy for spring. I mean, we were able to get out this weekend.
Yeah, we had a podcast meetup. IRL.
Yeah, we went to our... Actually, it's now... We've done it twice now. The hangout at Lagunitas in Petaluma.
It's a good place to hang out.
Yeah. As things go, you could do a lot worse. So if you ever want to, we should do like a formal meetup and see if anybody comes out.
We assembled a portion of the brain trust.
Yeah, that's right.
We didn't get the whole enchilada, but...
Yeah. That might have been for the best. It sounded like that was kind of a rough day for him.
Yeah. Half of the brain trust was pretty hungover. The music and one co-host side of it was pretty hungover. The graphic design and other co-hosts were doing fine.
Well, you know... We'll talk about kind of the circumstances that pulled us together kind of later in the show, but needless to say, it was good. I really enjoy Lagunitas, and it's so nice eating outside and drinking outside.
It's just, yeah.
You feel really grown up.
And also, if you sit in the sun for a few hours and drink beer, you will get sleepy.
True facts. Those are
getting groundbreaking. Sleepy. Yeah, we're taking a hard stance here at the Not a Thing podcast. If you drink in the sun, you will get tired. We have done extensive research for the good of science and humanity.
Yeah. Well, if the ACLU has its way, if you buy. The Stingray cell phone monitoring systems, you will be found out. And so the ACLU kind of went more public with a campaign to get information out of a company that makes the device is called a Stingray. It's a cell phone kind of interceptor. It looks or works like a cell tower, but instead of repeating stuff, it just kind of takes data in. And I guess they've been around for a while, at least as long as cell phones have, and they're meant to be kind of there for law enforcement use when they're trying to kind of monitor a known criminal or a suspected criminal anyway to catch them. And it can do cell phone conversations or even intercept data like texts. Because texts, as far as I know, are just like plain text, essentially, over the airwaves. But the big deal is that there's concern that they're not being used with warrants. They're just being used as passive information generators. And, you can blame probably the NSA for that kind of idea that might be happening. The really interesting piece of it, I mean, if that weren't kind of shady enough, is the agencies that are involved, and they're usually like local law enforcement kinds of agencies that buy the Stingrays, are told as part of the contracts of purchase that they sign a non-disclosure agreement to say that whether they've bought them or not, which kind of I guess is one way to keep kind of secret like who has the technology, but it also, keeps secret who has that technology.
I think as an act of protest, what we should do is find where they have one and then go there and then spam them with dick pics. If they're gonna be harvesting my data, they can harvest the D.
We put the D in data. Well, you know, the ACLU is pushing on the Freedom of Information Act kind of thing, because they are government agencies, to find out more. And one of the things they found out was that the company that makes them reported something like a $550 million profit. So they're selling them. They're going into places. So, you know, you're putting data out on the internet, you know, as much as you'd like to think that was private. I mean, I know Google finally said that they're going to encrypt all Gmail today or this week. So yay for Google on that front. But your cell phone stuff is, I guess, still pretty wide open. So that's kind of unfortunate. And especially knowing that these kinds of things are out there, you know, I think we're going to have to go back to the days of the prepaid burner cell phones.
Yeah, everyone go buy DVDs of The Wire. Watch that, because it's an amazing television show. But also you can learn how to, you know, use burners and different systems to evade detection. Get all Stringer Bell up in here.
Oh, well, I think we're going to move away from Baltimore and kind of over to New York. There's some really wild stuff out on the internet the last couple days. The first story that I'd seen was a 16-year-old essentially snuck past a sleeping security guard and rode an elevator all the way up to the top of the still being built One World Trade Center. I think it's something like 90 floors or something like that. And then he got out onto the roof deck and climbed the antenna spire and essentially hung out up there for like an hour or 2 hours. And then he was spotted as he was climbing down and then caught in the lobby. But, you know, so it's kind of wild that a 16-year-old can kind of sneak into this like facility, which, you know, by all rights should be probably one of the most securely guarded kinds of things. Not necessarily because they have a lot of secrets involved. It's just, you know, it's right next to where the Twin Towers were. It's kind of a hot button kind of place from a like security standpoint anyway. But also kind of news this week, and I thought it was related, but I mean, it's only related insofar as it's the same building. So the Freedom Tower again, some base jumpers snuck into the building, and they didn't take the elevator. They actually walked all the way up to the roof and then base jumped off. For those of you that don't know what base jumping is, it's really, what's the right word?
Crazy?
Yeah. It stands
just search
for
base jumping on the internet, you know, on your Bings or your Googles or what have you.
Yeah.
And if you're actually using Bing, that I'm impressed. and also not impressed. But if you search just base jumping, you'll find lots of videos on the internet.
Yeah. So base jumping.
Silly things.
Right. So the guys that did the jump filmed it. And the deal was that I guess they had filmed it, and then someone had seen them or heard about it, and then it took 4 months to for the FBI to kind of point at these guys, and then they turned themselves in and said, "Yeah, we did it." And not only that, here's the video of us doing it, and so it's like a 4 minute video of them kind of hanging out on the roof for about a minute and a half, and then it's them jumping, and it's nuts. I mean, you know, the if you do Google it or Bing it or Metacrawler it or whatever search engine is still around,
Metacrawler.
you'll see the base jumping videos, and they are really impressive. But this one, it's in the middle of New York City, so it's in between the buildings. You know, you can You can see the street that they're following. As the guy's landing, he's landing in an intersection, and the camera must be mounted on his helmet because you can see him turn, to look for oncoming traffic as he drifts into the intersection. It's nuts. So, I mean, part of it is, you know, that's really cool, and the other part of it is, get some freaking security guards on this place.
Well, it sounds like they had a security guard, but he probably spent too much time drinking in the sun. Falling asleep on the job.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And that was one of the things that the base jumpers actually said in their statement was, you know, they freely admit to doing it. They have a history of doing it. It's probably not the right thing to do. But at the same time, they pointed out, it's like, we just walked in. We didn't, you know, they didn't do some kind of elaborate, you know, timing of cameras and lights and whatever. You know, there was no Metal Gear Solid on this one. They just walked through, essentially.
They didn't turn into a box.
Oh, Metal Gear. Are you playing, or have you played any of the newer ones? I don't think I've played any since, I think, 3. I sort of played 3, didn't really like it, and I haven't since.
It's probably been about 8 years since I played one, so I don't know.
Yeah, I guess not Metal Gear Solid 5, but the, like, a preview for it just came out this week. So, anyway, that's why it was on my brain. The cardboard box. It's always a killer disguise. Anyway, I think base jumping is a thing. I kind of like the idea of it, but maybe not. I don't know. I feel like the illegality of it is annoying to me.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be stupid, as long as you don't, like, fall on anybody, you know, I think that should be fine.
Yeah.
Or you know, you need to get a license for it, and you put in a deposit for the cleanup. Like, yeah, you can go do it as much as you want, but we have, you know, $2,000 on retainer to scrape you off the pavement. It doesn't cost the taxpayers any money.
That should be a thing. That should be along with your waiver. It's not a waiver, it's a
deposit. It's a clean deposit. If you don't make a mess, you get the deposit back.
First and last month's rent. Yeah, it should work. It should work. That should be a thing. Well, maybe that's something that the base jumping community can kind of submit or propose to be ratified in their bylaws.
Because they're such an organized group.
Well, it's something that came up, I guess, out of the Occupy movement a little bit. The Occupy movement was pretty much as decentralized as you can get, right? Anonymous is supposedly kind of in charge of it for the most part, but even that is kind of problematic because it's not like there's, you know, one person behind it. I mean, unless you count, you know, V, right? But for the most part, it's meant to be a decentralized, kind of highly democratic kind of thing. And so one of the things that came out of the Occupy movement were some software developers who took that idea and made an app about it. And so announced on, I don't think it's Kickstarter, because I feel like Kickstarter's become too commercial for a lot of people now. It's on, I want to say it's on Indiegogo, but we'll look it up. But the app is called Lumia, and it's meant to be a kind of crowd decision-making system. So it's an app, and it's a website and all that kind of stuff. And so it relies on everyone kind of participating via the system, and you can propose your proposals for, like, let's meet here, or let's do this, or let's take this kind of action, or let's resolve to think in this way, and then people can vote on it. But the difference between it and really like any internet forum is that it has a system for delegating your votes. And this kind of mirrors the representative government, at least to some degree. I mean, they understand that if everyone has an equal weight vote, there can be a lot of kind of noise by committee and stuff like that. And so what they say is, if you want to delegate your vote to someone else to make, someone that you agree with, then you can do that. And then that kind of will concentrate voting power in an interesting way. And it's a really interesting concept. I guess it's based in part on there's a party in, I want to say it's Germany, the Pirate Party in Germany. So the offshoot of the Swedish kind of one. They use software called,
It's Liquid like, Feedback.
Liquid Feedback. It's a, that's kind of cool sounding, but it's that kind of thing. It's a decentralized policymaking kind of engine. That one is much more kind of politically set up for political kinds of things. The Lumia app is meant. Sorry?
Lumio.
Lumio. Oh, that's an O.
Lumia is the phone.
Oh, you're right. The Nokia.
Yeah.
Like the 40 megapixel one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get one of those. The Lumio app is it's a thing meant for kind of small groups. Like, I don't know. I could see it being used in almost like not neighborhoods, but like a block. You know, a block of people. It's like, hey, let's have a yard sale on this day, and then you know you can kind of put it together, and you can agree on things. You know, in kind of a forum like atmosphere, but it seems to have a bias towards like actually having decisions been made. I mean, I'm a member of, and I think I talked about this a little bit before. I'm a member of Nextdoor.com for our neighborhood, and it's a site that you get essentially a forum per like four block kind of chunk of a neighborhood, and then you can use it to, you know, report stuff or get help or get advice. And it suffers from all the problems of like forums on the internet. It's just kind of, because everyone has an equal say, everyone has the equal right to say garbage. Well, so there's sorry
for this Lumio. I'm already excited for this Lumio app. I know exactly what I'm going to use it for.
Oh yeah.
Like everybody get it. And so when it comes to that time of the evening when you're trying to decide what restaurant to go to, there'll be no more pussyfooting around.
Oh my god. You know,
or you give your vote to somebody else and a decision is made.
You know, it's really, really funny because I thought a very similar thing, but my thing wasn't deciding restaurants. It was deciding what's going to go on the pizza.
Oh, yep, that's a good one too.
That's great. I'm glad that we've, you know, have similar priorities in line. But yeah, Lumio, crowdfunded if you like. It's going to be, I think, a free and open source app. So, you know, all that good stuff. All the stuff that came out of the Occupy movement, which, you know, arguably maybe something good. At least this was something. It looks pretty cool anyway. Kind of on the not cool coin of the internet, definitely not kind of the big decentralized kind of forces for good, or at least well-intentioned kinds of things, is some crazy news out of Facebook. I mean, fresh off the heels of the Oculus Rift doing well at Game Developers Conference last week, Facebook apparently has decided to put $2 billion into Oculus and buy them. It looked like it was kind of a mostly money thing, mostly stock thing, and then, you know, some large amount of money and probably an undisclosed amount of likes. Facebook can pay in likes, right? That's their currency. They're buying. So for those that don't know, the Oculus Rift is a VR helmet. I mean, you virtual reality, you know, that thing in the 90s that was really kind of embarrassing technologically, it's coming back. We're able to actually do it well now. And so it's still kind of a thing where you put a helmet on and you have screens essentially in front of each eye. So it's stereoscopic vision, you get 3D, and it tracks your head as you look in opposite directions and whatever. And it was really a thing that was kind of touted, at least in the 90s, as a, you know, this is how you can explore like information or the internet or whatever without leaving your chair. And I think it has a lot of kind of cool and wide applications like that, but there was no decent content for it. And it was also just way too expensive. I mean, I think there was a model made for 3D gaming, which it seems, you know, perfectly paired for, except you had to pay like $2,000 for one. So sometime maybe 2 years ago, Oculus was one of those like really popular Kickstarters. I think they raised something like $250 million to say that they were going to make a consumer level, but still, you know, really high quality virtual reality headset that was specifically for gaming. And so they had this huge buzz. I mean, they have essentially been operating at a prototyping stage for the last year and a half. It's not for sale. You can buy a developer's kit. I think the price point was something like $300, something like that. But again, you know, very 3D gaming focused. And so it's really baffling, at least to me, why is Facebook buying this company? And for as much as they paid $2 billion, which is, it's just for a company that hasn't made, you know, a shipping product yet, it's pretty impressive. And just to put it in perspective of like other things that Facebook has bought, a couple of weeks ago, they bought the company, WhatsApp, which was a kind of cross phone messaging app. And they paid $8 billion for that. So it's a pretty good chunk of change for a company that makes gaming headsets, which is really not something that I can see integrating into Facebook's kind of ecosystem.
Oh, they're going to make virtual reality Farmville, obviously, is the big push.
Yes, the demand for that will be the key kind of factor in Facebook's you know, rise to power. I mean, I think maybe Facebook just bought it as a way to keep it out of other companies' hands. I know that at South by Southwest, anyway, Google was getting a lot of buzz for their for Google Glass, and Samsung had released their, I think it was Samsung who made a new like kind of watch that pairs with their phones. So it was kind of a like technology land grab, I think, for Facebook, because either of those companies, or Apple, which could grab something like Oculus and possibly do something kind of interesting with it. I think it's more likely, you know, in one of those companies for something. Like, I feel like Apple, being a more general computing company, has applications for it. Google with Glass has kind of a wearables thing. Samsung has always been kind of device oriented, but Facebook is a software company, so it seems weird for them to jump into hardware in this way.
Maybe they're building their next delivery system,
so
you can get your non-chronological feed straight to your face.
it brings the Facebook right to your face.
They're gonna put the book in your face.
But I think you brought it up. Was it last week that Facebook bought or is thinking to buy? I think it's called Titan Aerospace. Do you hear about that?
I don't remember that.
So
Titan, I don't think I brought that up.
So Titan Aerospace is a drone company. They make I forget how long they fly. It's like on the order of days, because they're really light and they fly at a really high altitude, and they're not solar, like completely solar powered, but they can use solar power to augment whatever their normal fuel is. And you know, that one was kind of a weird thing too. I don't know if they actually pulled the trigger on buying it. It was just kind of a rumor. But the most logical explanation that they had put out was that they fly at such a high altitude that they can be used to repeat internet signals and bring the internet and Facebook along with it to underprivileged countries that don't have enough internet infrastructure.
That sounds much better than what I figured they do with it, which is make a real-life poke service.
Well, so the connection to that and virtual reality makes sense to me, but probably it's still not in a way that I want Facebook to be in control of. I just don't want Facebook to be able to control with that amount of fidelity a fleet of flying machines. I just feel like that only goes badly.
I don't want anybody to have that power other than me. I mean, I guess I'd be all right if you did it, but it's a very short list of people that I accept having that power.
Yeah, so I think the bringing the poke thing kind of back could definitely be bad in both the drone case and in the Oculus case. I don't know. I think it does have some applications in more than just gaming. But I was so excited for the Oculus as a gaming platform.
We've discussed it before on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm just concerned it's going to get diluted in all of this. But you know, if there's any kind of goodness that comes out of it, it's that the Oculus is not the only VR headset that's kind of floating around. At the Game Developers Conference, Sony also put their stuff out. I guess theirs is still kind of very, very beta or very early kind of in the development phase. But they're already saying how they want it to be wireless. It currently is wired in their prototype phase. And they have it set up differently than the Oculus does. And there was a review that we'll link of a guy that tried it out. And it sounds like they got a lot of the stuff right about how to build it. It sounded actually ergonomically better than the Oculus. I think I talked about it. I put the Oculus on at the last Penny Arcade Expo, and I said pretty much immediately, like, you cannot wear this with glasses. There's no way, because of the way that it adjusts in, the screens are right up to your eye, so there's no way that it could leave room for glasses. Whereas it sounds like the it's called like Project Morpheus, is set so it rests kind of on your head rather than being like a headband where it straps over your forehead. And so that allows kind of movement of the screens kind of away from your face or closer to your face as you might need. And the tester remarked that he could wear glasses with it just fine. And so I think it's really funny, right? The tester in the video makes a really good point. It's like, you know, people who play video games, there's a pretty big crossover between people who have glasses.
Yes, they are part of the same diagram. As interesting as the review was when I read the article that you sent me and I watched the video on it, I couldn't stop thinking the guy doing the review looks like a budget Damon Lindelof.
Was he like writing Marvel script? Like kind Damon of Lindelof. No, you're right. He did have kind of that look. So there's a bonus for those of you that want to watch the video. But what do you think about that? Because it looked like it was being tested on the PlayStation 4, and I would hope that horsepower is all in that system for it. Although it sounded like Sony is not planning on bringing that to market this year, which may just mean, you know, they don't want to commit to it. I know the Oculus, at least as of, you know, a week ago, was publicly saying that they were going to release essentially an updated version of the developer's kit, but it was still, you know, not announced as a on sale date. And so I suspect they wanted to kind of have those come out kind of in a similar time frame, or maybe even ahead of Oculus's time frame. I mean, PS4 was pretty good about getting ahead of the Xbox time frame, I think. So it might be that they're trying to do that again to sweep that market.
Well, one thing that's not coming out with the Oculus Rift is Minecraft.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty wild. The inventor or creator of Minecraft, I think his Twitter handle's Notch, but he posted pretty quickly after the news broke that he was pulling his company's support of the Oculus Rift port of Minecraft, and he has this long post about how you know, he knew that it was going to be a property for Oculus and how it was going to make sense in that kind of space and stuff, but he wanted to pull it because he just doesn't like Facebook. I mean, really, just kind of as quickly as that. I want to say he tweeted about it, and the summary that he used to link to his blog post was just like, you know, I'm pulling all support. I don't want to work with Facebook. They're creepy.
Facebook creeps me out.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, he does lay it out as a pretty good argument. I mean, his thing was, you know, Facebook is not known as a gaming company unless you consider Farmville a game.
And I don't.
Not a thing.
It's a brain-melting time suck. I mean, yeah, it's a game for casuals. And I use casuals in the derogatory term.
but yeah, it's not prioritizing the gaming kind of aspects of the system, and that was what Notch most was wanted to work with. I mean, obviously he's making a game. He's a game developer. He wants to, you know, work with a gaming company, which Oculus was from the get-go. And so the Facebook involvement with it, I mean, even if they keep the Oculus kind of as its own thing, it sounded like just his the association with Facebook was enough to make him, you know, not want to be involved just because of, you know, Facebook's kind of somewhat unstable nature about you know, user privacy and features and what they prioritize. He lined it out pretty sharply, saying that Facebook is about generating user numbers and increasing those numbers, and that's it. So it's kind of an overly cynical kind of shot at Facebook, but you know, it's he was just the first one. It's probably accurate. He's just the first one to speak. It'll be interesting to see, because that news essentially just broke today. You heard it here first on the Not a Thing podcast. Well, maybe.
Yes,
I don't
because
know.
Most other sources of news you read. So yes, yeah, you might
exactly.
have heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. You didn't see it here first, but you heard it. And that's what we're shooting for.
Oh man. Well, one thing that I think the filmmakers for Need for Speed were shooting for was to create a kind of fun theater experience, especially when they decided to release the movie into D-Box. I know you and I and a few other people saw it in D-Box this weekend, and I think they succeeded for the most part.
It was an enjoyable experience. It wasn't as crazy as the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
It felt a little more grounded, but it was good to see some practical effects in use.
Yeah, I think the D-Box experience was maybe, I don't know, I think I consider it good, but not as like kind of overwhelmingly dramatic and awesome as as I've seen for other movies. So,
well, yeah, that's because there's no like big sweeping helicopter shot of the big Jesus in Brazil where you're in the helicopter and your seat moves like the helicopter.
Oh, and that was something I noticed too, is that they didn't really do that as much. Like you would only get the motion
when you're in the car.
Right. When it was car related. So there were like a bunch of, I think, missed opportunities with kind of camera shots and stuff. So,
but I think it was an improvement over the last film that we saw that director do in D-Box, Act of Valor, which just kind of felt like you're moving around all the time. It's like, why am I moving right now? Another movie with good practical effects.
Yeah, I have to give
but not
props
a good
to any movie that that decides to use practical effects, especially to the extent that they did for Need for Speed. I mean, that looked great. I mean,
those cars blowed up good.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking with my mother-in-law about that because we were saying that, you know, it was mostly practical effects, and she's like, "How did they ruin all those cars?" And I'm pretty sure they didn't. I'm pretty sure they take, you know, fiberglass molds of the cars and then blow those up. And that's a lot kind of cheaper on the pocketbook.
Yeah, you're not just going to go mulch a Bugatti Veyron. Although, I mean, based on the budget that these movies have, you could. This movie costs, you know, $100 million to make or whatever this one was. This was actually only $66 million. So that was very good for that budget.
Yeah. Fiberglass. See?
The 3D was completely useless, though.
I don't think there was
a single moment where it was like, oh, 3D, it's worth it.
No. And they did maybe, I think, three different we're throwing something at the camera kind of moments. Maybe maybe even more than that. There were, there was like a tire that flew at the camera. There was a dog that kind of jumps out and scares you and is right in front of the camera. And then, what was the other thing? There was any of the car crashes. There was one in particular that I'm thinking of where, you know, it's like right into the camera, essentially.
I will say, I think it's one of the better video game adaptations for a movie. that I've seen. There's been some really shitty ones.
Yeah, let's not name all of them. But
no, no, but...
maybe one or two, right? Resident Evil.
Right.
Doom.
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh! Ah!
Which I enjoyed as a child, but I'm pretty sure that's not going to hold up if I rewatch it.
I think the gold standard for game into movie, I think I'm going to go with Tron.
Did the game precede the movie?
I hope so.
I'm not sure that's the case, it but I'll defer to your judgment as, you know, you were alive then.
Well, were there any? I guess not. I mean, what other?
Oh, Wing Commander.
Was that better than the game?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Which Wing Commander did you play?
That I guess that does make a difference.
Because Wing Commander, was it 3? Was it the one with Mark Hamill?
Right.
It was, that was excellent. I enjoyed the hell out of that game. Well, there may be another example that is better, or rather that exists.
Yeah, that someone's screaming at their headphones right now.
Probably.
What about this one?
Yeah. Not the House of the Dead. Yeah, but you're right. I think it was a good movie. It was kind of fun. It was nice to see kind of Michael Keaton in something.
Oh, yeah. This has been a year of Michael Keaton doing some work with RoboCop and this.
Yeah.
Just eating up the scenery. Just chewing it up.
Yeah, he was definitely channeling Beetlejuice for this one.
He's getting warmed back up, so when they make Beetlejuice 2.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so.
I believe that's in the works.
Oh, cool. They should just do it as everyone is older, and they can get Alec Baldwin and... I can't remember her name. What is her name?
Winona Ryder?
No. She's in Long Kiss Goodnight. And, it's not coming to me.
Oh, Gina Davis.
Yes. Yes, it was Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin are the parents.
Right.
Or not the parents. But,
no, the people who move in.
Yeah, the people who died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I guess the spoiler was Jeffrey Jones. That may not go over well. He's had some legal troubles, I guess.
A little bit.
Yeah. Anyway. I still think D-Box is a worthy format. I will still go see...
I will go see racing movies in D-Box.
Fast 7, all over it. Everything else, you might want to, you know, give it a second thought.
Which they're apparently going to be finishing Paul Walker. He only shot about half of his scenes, and they're going to be shooting the rest with body doubles and CGI.
Wow.
So this could be a monstrosity. Which I will watch the hell out of on opening night.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm excited. It's it's a good franchise, kind of, you know, kind of poor behavior notwithstanding. just pay attention to that disclaimer when it comes up, right? You know, it's only a movie, people.
Yeah, don't attempt these stunts.
They're trained professionals, or they have body doubles and CGI to help. So, you know, it's unless you have body doubles and CGI, don't do it.
Which we do it here at the podcast, but I'm sure most people out there don't.
Cool. Well, that's a pretty good roundup of the internet and world as it stands this week. I think we'll push it off for another week, Brennan.
Indeed.
All right, Matt. I'll talk to you later.
Until next time.